I was texting a friend the other day, and he replied, "Miracles still happen." And I was like, "Well, yeah." And it kind of gave me a title for my message this morning. I forgot the date of this occurrence, but U.S. Airways Flight 1549 took off LaGuardia Airport at 3:25 p.m. It was destined for North Carolina. On board were five crew members, including Captain Chesley Sullenberg. He was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Army for 38 years and flew F-16s. He had 150 passengers on his airplane. About 2 minutes into the flight, the airplane took into a flock of Canadian geese. Both engines sputtered and stalled. After repeated attempts to restart the engine, were unsuccessful. Sullenberg notified the ground control that he was returning to the airport and going to be making an emergency landing. However, the airplane continued to descend as it glided, and Sullenberg realized he was not going to be able to reach LaGuardia. An airport in New Jersey was quickly ruled out, as LaGuardia realized that in under 200 seconds they would be on the ground, whether he wanted to or not. Shortly after he attempted air control, he decided he was going to take a very risky dangerous attempt at water landing. Sullenberg had flown airplanes for 45 years as a commercial jetliner pilot and in the U.S. Air Force, and he had never completed an emergency landing. The success rate of an emergency landing on water is 1 in 35 without a fatality, and he was going to attempt it. At approximately 3:29, Sullenberg announced over the intercom, "This is Captain Sullenberg, brace for impact and emergency landing." 210 seconds after colliding with the flock of geese, the Airbus landed in the Hudson Bay River. Passengers were excited and exited the plane on slide rafts and walked onto the wings and entered inflatable rafts where local ferries and emergency responders picked them up. The number of passengers that died on that aircraft were zero. Five people were treated for hypothermia, and one flight attendant had surgery on a cut that she had on the landing. Sullenberg became a national hero. Some were critical of the decision to land the Hudson Bay River. However, with the lengthy FCC and FAA investigation, that was the only possible landing. There was no airports he could have gotten to, and too many skyscrapers and other buildings. It would have killed everyone on board if he attempted any other landing. Miracles still happen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this morning and for the opportunity we have to be here together. Thank you for our visitors that are here. Just ask that they could be blessed and worship with us. Help us to be honoring to you in our lives. As we look into your word, just ask that you would speak to us and help us to look to you for our miracles and our hope and life. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what looks hopeless or possible, impossible to you, but I just want to encourage you to not lose hope. That's something that I need to do a lot in my life. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Starting in verse 5, I'm going to read through 31. "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this? And why have we let Israel go from serving us?' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captain over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them and camped by the sea besides Pharaoth in Baal Zeon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel, they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, 'Because there is no graves in Egypt, why hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore canst thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die here in the wilderness.' And Moses said unto the people, 'Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. The Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace.' The Lord said unto Moses, 'Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch it out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will, and I, behold, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor among Pharaoh, and among upon his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten my honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before them, before their faces, stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to those, but it gave light by night to those, so that the one came not near to the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the wind to go backward by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even Pharaoh's horsemen, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come together unto the Egyptians upon their horsemen, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a high wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore. We see here that even the entire army of Egypt was not able to overcome God's will, and that God worked his miracle here. And turn over to Matthew now and look at some other miracles that happened in the New Testament. One thing you will see on each of these miracles is that the people were surviving. They were living life already. And these were just things that were hindering their life. And Matthew 8, verse 1, it says, "And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." This morning we have things to be cleaned from, our past and sins and just things that we've been through. And we have to come to Jesus, and we see here that he is happy and wants to reach out and heal us. Matthew 8:23, "When he entered him into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and they were calm." There was a great calm. We see here again that the disciples were scared, yet they reached out to Jesus, and he healed them. In essence, he saved them in this exact setting. In Matthew 9, verse 2, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of a palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Here, a man came to Jesus needing a miracle in his life, and he needed healing physically and spiritually, and God gave it to him. God wants to bring us joy. He said, "Son, be of good cheer." If we come to Jesus this morning, he has joy for us. In chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "And behold, a woman which had was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said within herself, If I may be touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour." I'm going to show this. I am a very hands-on learner, and I learn things a lot easier by sight. So I'm going to do a little analogy here, I guess, and show you kind of what I'm referring to. If I were to try and live life handcuffed to this chair, I could still get around, I could survive, but it would be awful unhandy. Yet there's keys in life that can set you free. You can be released from things like your past, yet we have to be willing to come to Jesus. And I understand that some things in life aren't going to ever go totally away, but we can certainly have a lot more freedom if we're willing to come to Jesus and hand him the key and have him unlock the things that are hindering our life. In Matthew chapter 17, in verse 26, Peter said unto him, starting the second half, or actually, let me see if I'm in the right spot. Matthew 17, verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that cometh first up. When thou hast opened thy mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give to them for thee and me. For me and thee. Jesus is able to work miracles in our finances. We see here Peter is needing to pay his taxes. He had probably been following Jesus for some time and hadn't been selling fish like he had been, so he might have been running a little low in his piggy bank. Jesus will provide if we're willing to come to him. In Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69. When Peter was without in the place, a damsel came unto him, saying, thou wast also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out unto the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, thou wert with him. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crow. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock shall crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Even if our friends forsake us and leave us in life, Jesus is going to always be there for us, and we can always trust him. Look to him for our miracles and our healing. In Mark chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, there came unto them bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Here we see that for this man to come to Jesus for healing and a miracle in his life, he needed to have his friends bring him to Jesus and to help him along. And Jesus was happy and willing to heal him. And I'm going to look at several just one-verse instances, and I'm just going to run through these. In 2 Kings 20, verse 5, it says, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, is what Jesus said, or God said to King Hezekiah. In Psalms chapter 34, it says, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that despise my heart, and I shall heal thee. In verse 5, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth his bones, and not a bone of them shall be broken. In Psalms 147, it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. But happy is the man that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, say unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. In Jeremiah 17:14, it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art worthy of my praise." In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, "For I will restore health unto thee, I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they healed thee, because they called thee an outcast, and no man seeketh after thee. Yet I will seek after thee, Jacob." God wants to is ready to work miracles in our lives, but we have to come to Him. We see these verses that God is ready and wants to help work miracles and healing in our life, and we just have to reach out to Him. We have to be ready to do our part. We see the people reaching out to Jesus in a lot of these. They, in essence, took the first step. Looking back to Flight 1479, what do you think would have happened if that pilot during training had been paying no attention or forgot how to do an emergency landing? What if he didn't trust in the airplane or his abilities? What if he didn't think he could land in the river? What if when he had hit the geese, he'd just given up and said, "One in 38 chances of me landing without a fatality is pretty slim." He didn't have power, yet he used the resources he had. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." There is always hope. I don't know what everyone here is facing or going through in life, but I just want to be an encouragement to people and to remind you that there's hope in life. And the Bible is filled with God's love for us. I found it interesting this morning that all the love languages are shown in Jesus' life. There's plenty of words of affirmation. He gave us His greatest gift of all time with His Son. At the cross was an act of service, and He served people with washing their feet and healing them. He gave time to anyone who wanted it and was willing to be there and listen. And He physically touched and healed a lot of people. God's love is a miracle. And I just am thankful for that this morning and just want to be an encouragement. Thank you.